Well, thank you, choir. That makes a tough segue into reading from our scripture. I can just see Jesus with a banjo on his knee here as he's talking to the disciples. But we're going to read from John 13, verses 31 through 35, if you would like to join along. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, protect me from me and hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak this morning and thoughts that we together share be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. A junior high music teacher had just organized a band for her school. And the principal was so proud of the music teacher's efforts that without consulting her, he decided that the band should have a concert for the school and all the parents. The music teacher wasn't quite so sure that her young musicians were ready to give such a concert. So she tried to talk the principal out of it, tried to delay having this concert to no avail. So just as everybody gathered in the auditorium, she turned to her group together. She turned to her band. And she basically kind of whispered to them from the podium. She said, "If you're not sure of your part, just pretend to play." And with that, she stepped back, lifted her baton, and with a great flourish brought it down, and lo and behold, nothing happened. The band brought forth a resounding silence. I think sometimes we as the church can be like that band, tentative in our roles, reluctant to trumpet forth the music that God desires each of you to play. And I think that's because we have trouble deciding what's the most important thing for us. I'm reminded of an incident that happened in the summer a few years ago in San Antonio, Texas. Now, for any of you that are not familiar with the heat in San Antonio, Texas in the summer, it's what you can consider 90-plus humidity with upper 90s or 100 degrees Fahrenheit. It is flat miserable. It was one of those hot days in August when a 10-month-old baby girl was accidentally locked in a parked car in a parking lot. Frantically, the mother and the aunt ran around and called on her phone and got neighbors, got people walking by to try and help them get this door unlocked, to try and jimmy the lock to try and get in. And of course, the infant was now scared, was bawling at the top of her lungs and was beginning to turn a little bit purple and foam a little bit at her mouth as a combination of the anxiety and fear that the baby had and the intense heat that was building inside the car. It quickly turned into a life and death situation when Fred Arola, a tow truck driver, arrived on the scene. He jumped out of his truck. He grabbed a hammer. He went and smashed the backside window of the car and freed the baby. Was he heralded as a hero? Not really. According to an article that made the national news and went viral, he is quoted as saying, "The lady was mad at me because I broke the window." I just thought, what's more important, a baby or a window? Most of us, and most of the choices that we make in life, are not between what is trivial and what is important. Rather, most of the choices that we make are usually between what is important and what is more important. I think this morning's gospel reading is so timely for us because it shows us what is more important. As we gather and worship this morning to affirm that the greatest blessing that God has given us is God's love for us. God's love that forgives all that we do. God's love that makes us His children. God's love that brings us together in this fellowship with one another. God's love that sends us out to proclaim the death and resurrection of Christ. As God's people, we gather in this congregation to affirm to each other what is most important for us. God's love. As Jesus said in the reading this morning, a new commandment I give to you, that you should love one another, even as I have loved you. You should love one another. By this love, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Remember that hymn, "They will know we are Christians by our love." Note, dear friends, that most of all, first and foremost, that which God desires is that we love one another. We may give, we may teach, we may sing, we may serve, we may sacrifice. We may visit our shut-ins on behalf of all of us. We may preach the gospel, we may clean the kitchen, we may sew the quilts, we may sponsor the youth, we may mow the grass, we may spread the mulch. And all of things are vitally important to the well-being of this congregation. They are wonderful and important to our life together. But if we do not do them out of the love for God, if we do not do them out of the love that we have for one another, we miss what God desires most of us. I'm kind of reminded, and I think y'all have come to know, I love the cartoon strip Peanuts. And I'm reminded of this one strip where Lucy is standing. I mean, y'all can imagine this. At one point in time in their lives, I'm sure, has seen the strip Peanuts. Lucy is standing with her arms folded and that expression on her that we see so often. And Charlie Brown is pleading with her. "Lucy," he says, "you must be more loving. The world needs love. Make this world a better place, Lucy, by loving someone else." And with that, Lucy whirls around angrily. And Charlie Brown goes flipping over backwards. "Look, you blockhead," Lucy screams. "I love the world. It's people I can't stand." I think sometimes that, at times, many of us can identify with that remark. It's easy to love in the abstract. It's easy to love the world, people in general. It's not our problem. It's the people that are around us that drive us crazy. And yet it is precisely those people that are around us, people that are nearest to us, people with whom we work and go to school, neighbors next door, the people we sit next to in church, those are the people that Christ is calling us to love. You know, you see, I find the word love is very interesting because it's one of those words that can be a noun, I'm in love, or it can be a verb. Make no mistake, Christ is calling us to be the verb, to be love in action, not just a condition, but a verb. Love in action. Love which finds expression in kindness, courtesy, tolerance, acceptance of those around us. Christ calls us to love one another and to bring that love to light for those around us, to bring it to light in a way that we treat and others see those around us. It's easy to love people in general, to affirm that love is a good thing and something that we all need. We can all agree to that. But it's another thing altogether to put that love into action, to make love concrete in our attitudes and our actions toward others. Someone once said, we are judged by our actions, not our intentions. We may have a heart of gold, but then so does a hard-boiled egg. All right, I won't use that one next time. Love one another. As a congregation of God's people, we are called to care for others, to set aside our preconceived notions of who is and who is not acceptable to God. For the ground that was at the foot of the cross, that ground is level. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory that God has for us, and we are all received into God's goodness by His grace, not by our own doing. It is God's love that unites us, and it is God's love that we are called to share with each other. And this means that our lives must be characterized by love in action. Christ said, as I have loved you, love one another. You can take all the psychological tests and all the texts that are written and boil them down into their essential truth, and you'd have difficulty coming up with a better rule than that. As I have loved you, love one another. Most authorities tell us that love is a learned response. Just as the abused often becomes the abuser, so the one who is loved learns to love. And that's what we're talking about this morning, loving each other. Our Christian congregation needs to model love for one another, and in doing so, help those around us learn how to love. We affirm that God has laid a great foundation for us, and in the center of this foundation is Christ. You might well say with Paul, I have resolved to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The source of our love and our blessing is Jesus Christ. So we know that the world and that the word that Christ gives us is love, the command to love. It's not a legalistic requirement. It's a natural response of our hearts to the love that we have received from God. The love that has been given to us unconditionally, undeserved, unlimited, that love that has been given to us to be an example to us, to teach us how to put love in action. The truth is we love because He first loved us. We enjoy the benefits of being together as a congregation because through this we experience what others have in God's love, and decided to share that among each other. And we have so many wonderful examples of that love in this congregation. So many of us have experienced God's love and His sacrifice and have shared among others to make God's love known to them. But it's all of ours turn now to experience that love and to share it. It is all of ours turn to experience God's love in action. Action in our lives. Actions that makes it real for others. You know, we live in a world that is becoming increasingly hostile to the Christian faith. A world that grows more and more self-centered every day. A world that has lost the meaning of the word sacrifice. that does not understand at times the commitment of faith. But this is the world that we're called to share God's love, because we are a part of this world. If Christians cannot find it among ourselves, if we're not able to love others, how can we expect the rest of the world to do that? We are among those whose time is limited, who find it difficult to make it time for the church. We are among those who often fail to share God's love with others. And Christ understands that. As we gather today and hear His word for us, our prayer together is that God strengthens us for service to Him and to help us love each other. We pray that God would use the example of Christ's love in action to teach us how to love as well, to show us how to give of ourselves to others. Love for one another is a primary witness of Christ's church. And Jesus made it clear when He said, "By this shall everyone know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." 100 years ago, a man by the name of Henry Drummond wrote a classic sermon titled, "The Greatest Thing in the World." He concluded his sermon by suggesting that if you put a piece of iron in the presence of an electrified field, the piece of iron will also become electrified. And in the presence of that electrical field, it's what? Changed into a magnet. As long as it remains in contact with that field of power, it will continue to attract other pieces to itself. I like that. I think we're like that piece of iron. In the presence of Christ, we experience His love and take on His likeness. We are charged, electrified by the Holy Spirit to attract others to that same love that God has for all of us and that we have experienced. A Christian discipleship, living as faithful members of the church, it's not just a matter of willpower. It's just not deciding that we will do it, that we will love others. It just really doesn't happen that way. It happens really, frankly, far more simply than that. Sharing God's love, living God's love, loving one another happens when we are connected to God's love, when we allow God's love to surround us, to shape and mold our lives in the image of Christ. In a world that is all too often filled with people that are concerned first and foremost about themselves, characterized with an impersonal, "what's in it for me" attitude, as Christians, we are called to witness to something more important. Love that gives of itself for other. Love that cares about others. Love that makes our lives meaningful and significant in what we do for others. So, brothers and sisters, take up your instruments and play. Let the band of faithful strike up a tune, for the musical score, the notes are laid out before us. Jesus says, "As I have loved you, love one another." Go this week and be the verb. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Father, we are disciples. your priest and the priesthood of all who believe. Grant that in the fellowship of your love we may be more than hearers. Teach us to speak for you, to work for you, to live for you. Father, I ask that you be a presence to all here that are gathered. Let some word that I've spoken bring peace, give strength, shed light. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all your children here today say, Amen.